Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of all the locations in the Wilmington area that have been immortalized in film or TV over the past 35 years, the former Ideal Cement Factory stands out. In the 1980s and 90s, the massive shut-down cement plant near Castlehaine was the site of more than half a dozen major film productions, some of them with very famous names. The Crow, Super Mario Brothers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Cavernous and indestructible, the warren of terrifying subterranean tunnels, Ideal Cement was often used to give those films a gritty, industrial feel that money couldn't buy, which was a good thing for films that were on very tight budgets. So let's talk a little bit of Wilmington film history, history that took place in one of the unlikeliest of locations in the northern wilds of New Hanover County. This is Cape Fear Unearthed, the podcast exploring the legends, historical oddities, and landmark stories of southeastern North Carolina. I'm your host, John Staten, and I'm a reporter with the Star News here in Wilmington. We're a Gannett paper that's part of the USA Today network. For this week's episode, I'm talking with Jock Brandis, who moved to Wilmington from Canada in 1984 to work on what was then Wilmington's fledgling film industry. He's been here ever since. Brandis worked on several movies here based on the work of writer Stephen King, including Firestarter and Cat's Eye in the 1980s, and he has dozens of local credits to his name. Some of the movies Brandis worked on in the 80s and 90s were shot at least in part at Ideal Cement, and he joins me to talk about his days working at what was an iconic, sometimes uncomfortable, and even dangerous location. Okay, so I'm here with Jock Brandis. He's a film industry veteran dating back to the very beginning days of the Wilmington film industry. He's a co-founder of the Full Belly Project. Jock, thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here.
Well, and this weekend, we should mention on Sunday at 4 o'clock out at the Point Theater in Wilmington, Jock's going to be talking about his experiences working on the Wilmington-made film Maximum Overdrive, which was based on a Stephen King novel.
It is. It was. It's kind of interesting for...
Or a short story, maybe.
Very likely.
Yeah.
You know, I did a bunch of the Stephen King movies, and I think Dead Zone was the only one that I ever read the book on.
Right.
Everything else was just like, oh, here's a script and whatever.
Yeah, no, you were telling me that you got, that Dead Zone was made in Toronto, and that's how you got first hooked up into the whole Stephen King world.
I did. That was part of the David Cronenberg kind of world, and and then at the end of the movie, Dino asked me to come down here and help him set up the movie studio here in Wilmington.
And yeah, that's Dino De Laurentiis, and you came and worked on Firestarter, and you've been here ever since.
Ever since. Dino's gone, and most people have, and I'm still ticking around. This is home.
Well, we won't give away too much about Maximum Overdrive, because you'll talk a lot about that on Sunday. I will say it's, you know, that movie starts out great. There's a lot of, you know, people getting killed by flying soda cans and all kind of fun stuff. So it'll be a fun time. So are they going to screen it first, and then you're going to talk? You're going to talk and then screen it, or a little bit of both?
I'm showing up.
And right.
Joe D'Alessandro is telling me where to stand and what to do. And
beautiful.
We've planted a few questions for him, and then we're throwing it open to the audience.
Excellent. Well, Joe D'Alessandro is a great guy. I'm responsible for this series. He's kind of delving into Wilmington film history and kind of giving some of those old movies a light of day. And I mean, it's always interesting, and we can sit here and talk about these forever. That's what we're going to do right now. In terms of the real reason for being here, or one of the reasons for being here, is to talk about the old Ideal Cement Factory in Wilmington. It's also called the Roanoke Cement Factory. It's on Ideal Cement Road out there in Castlehaine, off Holly Shelter Road, kind of in the northern part of the county. You might kind of near I-40. Now, see, back in my day, I was in high school in the 80s, so that was a place where, you know, us high school kids would run out and get in trouble, and you know, talk about people at work like worshiping the devil out there. There was all these rumors of it, like I said, about satanic rituals, and which was, I'm sure, more rumor than actual fact. But for whatever reason, The Ideal Cement plant is opened in the early 60s, and then it closed in the early 80s, so it was really only a factory for about 20 years. After it closed, it became, in the 80s and 90s, it was just a hot spot of filming in Wilmington.
Well, we used to call it Stage 13.
Right.
It was bad luck. No one wanted to be out there. It was it was ugly and dirty and cold in the winter and hot in the summer. I mean, it's basically a large abandoned cement factory full of asbestos and mercury powders.
Oh,
and,
gosh.
But the reason we used it was that it was just this amazingly flexible place. There are these huge cavernous spaces, you know, made of concrete and steel with walkways and conveyor belts and tunnels and just this
wow.
fanciful stuff. And you could basically turn it into anything.
Yeah, so that's what people, so that's what really kind of drew people's imagination. Obviously, people were drawn to it because there's, you know, half a dozen or more projects that were made out there. So what the first one, or one of the first ones that I can see on here was one that you worked on was Little Monsters, and it seems like that was an extensive, you guys were out there extensively.
Well, that was great because, you know, the world in Little Monsters was this mythical, magical world underground.
Yeah.
Where it's eternally night, and eternal night, and kids would who were smart enough could figure out that there was a portal under their beds, and if they
right.
crawled under their beds at night, they could get down. And it was a world of eternal, you know, fun and games and snacks. And but you know, you had to do the strange underworld thing.
Yeah.
So it was video games and weird walkways and catways and tunnels. It's kind of strange underworld place.
Yeah.
But the beauty of it is that was an undestructible building, so there's
right.
nothing you could do to damage
right.
it. You know, it's an issue, even if you're filming inside a stage and you're doing explosions
yeah.
or you're doing collapses,
right.
you can actually destroy the inside of a soundstage.
Right.
There's no way you could destroy the 3-foot-thick walls of the cement plant.
Yeah. And if you knocked a hole in the wall, I mean, who really cares? It's just, you know.
There was no way you could knock, you know, if the art director says, gee, I'd like you like to put a hole in this wall, we would just look at it. Say, you know, maybe your next movie, but that was it.
Interesting. Well, and it often has been used for, you know, I mean, Little Monsters, I think that's like Fred Savage, right? And he's running around. What were some of the stuff, what were some of the things you built out there? What were some of the things that you worked on? And
Those were really complex overhead catwalks, and essentially made out of shipping pallets and whatever. But The Crow, which extensively shot out there, was this kind of underworld, abandoned
yeah.
industrial, big eastern city thing.
Yeah, The Crow with Brandon Lee, and that was you know, well known for a lot of reasons, some tragic. I had a friend who worked out there. She said there was some kind of industrial dance sequence, or there's some kind of weird industrial dance party going on out there, and they had these big oil lamps, and there's dripping oil all over people, and it was she said it was a fun time.
There was an association with things going wrong that the cement plant had, which is
yeah.
why we call it Stage 13.
Yeah, you know? Well, what were some of the things that went wrong over there over the years?
Well, anytime you have big explosions and stunts, you know,
right.
you're gonna, you know, stuff, weird stuff is gonna happen. Super Mario Brothers showed
yes.
up there, and that was a movie that had a fair number of injuries in it, and it was I didn't work on that. I was hired on,
okay.
and then I was fired before the camera.
Well,
actually,
well, might have been a good thing. No, Super Mario Brothers, and that's one of the ones that, you know, when people talk about, you know, there's been a lot of good movies made in Wilmington, maybe a lot of not so good. Super Mario Brothers is one of the people that talk about of. Maybe one of the worst. I know Bob Hoskins, that worked on that, said it was the worst movie he's ever made. And Dennis Hopper was in there as the villain. But they used that. I know that Super Mario Brothers used Ideal Cement almost as extensively as anyone. They had the whole world set up out there.
And Muppets for that. From Space.
Yeah. What was? Yeah. Yeah. Now that was in the 90s, right?
Yeah. I built weird props for that.
Yeah.
I did stuff for Elmo and Grug, no, for the, Elmo and Grouchland.
Yeah, Elmo and Grouchland, yeah.
And so I was basically building mechanical contrivances like volcanoes that spew trash and things like that. So I was fortunate I didn't have to get out there. But again, it was indestructible. It was incredibly flexible, and there were these endless weird abandoned tunnels full of crap that were underneath there. It seemed like you could go for miles because there were all these big silos and conveyors and whatnot, and you could do pretty much anything with
it. That sounds terrifying. What was it like just to kind of be in there and walk around there? I mean, I guess...
Well, after about 4 hours, you got this horrible feeling in your lungs.
You know? Oh, no.
And, well, because all of the big... All of the big rotating ovens that would make the... In 25 words or less, there's the world's biggest rotating tube, and you throw limestone in one area, and an enormous flame comes in the other area, and cement comes out the other end.
Yeah.
This whole thing is wrapped in asbestos, and all... I mean, the whole thing was a Superfund site that we were filming in on a daily basis.
Well, see, how did that... Yeah, and... Yeah, that, to me, that's just fascinating. And then like a lot of movies that filmed there are the ones that really wanted this kind of gritty industrial look under Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Shot there in the late 80s, and that was, I think, the kind of the bad guys hideout, the Foot Clan, with a Shredder and all those guys were out at Ideal Cement. So it was used, I mean, in the 80s and 90s, it was used extensively.
Well, you know, you could, and there was a strangely fantastic office building, which had that... A double swoop, sort of, you know, Frank Lloyd Wright roof to it, which is, of course, all made of cement. And inside was this weird, 1950s office design on acid kind of thing that didn't make any sense and was also abandoned. So, I mean, if you were looking for something, if you didn't have a budget and you were looking for something fantastical, you could find some place right there and just set up some lights and roll camera.
Yeah, so is that part of it? Like a lot of these people who were filming out there, like, you know, I know Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that was basically an indie at the time, even though it went on to some success. They're looking for somewhere that's going to look cool, look interesting, and not have to, you know...
Not have to build it.
And not have to build it and spend a ton of money. That's a great point.
And it's huge.
Yeah.
So you can do the little small tunnels, but if you want to have this really impressive giant cavern, which is huge, I mean, that's very expensive to do. To try and find that anywhere else, and here all you had to do was light it, and there it was. It was huge.
That's a great point. Well, then one of the other early ones, what I'm to shoot out there was... Cyborg with Jean-Claude Van Damme, the martial arts artist, and that was shot, that came out in 89, so that was shot in the late 80s, and that was, you know, also probably, if it's remembered for anything, it's remembered for some accidents on the set. I think Jean-Claude famously kicked an extra's eye out or something like that, and...
It just had the reputation, because first of all, it was an incredibly unsafe place to work.
Right.
You know, so right off the bat, and with all of this abandoned industrial stuff that we would clamber our way through, and sharp and rusty edges everywhere, and debris from the last movie everywhere, it was basically an accident waiting to happen, and it did. So we didn't call it... Stage 13 for no good reason.
Yeah, and then probably for that very reason, it fell out of fashion, or if it didn't fall out of fashion, it just, you know, people were like, you know what, we just can't justify filming there anymore. The last thing that I see that was filmed out there, and it's all fenced off now that you go out there, you can't even really, I think back in the day, you could just...
They drove in.
As we did as teenagers, just drove up in, walked around, got into trouble, and now it's all fenced off for... as it probably should be. I know Revolution, the TV show, which was set in this post-apocalyptic world, was shooting out there. So there was probably maybe a little hearkening back to the old days of filming in Wilmington. But that was, you know, 2012, so it's been about close to a decade before anything of anything big is really shot out there.
Well, as you say, people are getting a whole lot more safety conscious, and insurance companies are starting to actually pay attention to what goes on the movie set, and the fact that that it's covered in cement and asbestos dust, you know, there's an issue there.
Yeah, that would probably be a red flag to any insurance.
Yeah, someone would pick up on that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to think what will happen to that place, because, like, as you were saying, it wouldn't be exactly a cheap or easy teardown, it doesn't sound like.
Fortunately, there's nothing around it for miles, yeah. And so I'm thinking low-yield nuclear explosion, possibly. Okay. Might be the only thing that would take it down.
Wow.
Either that or 50 years from now, it'll be the fashionable, you know, hotel and night spot.
There you go. Now you're talking. What was the other thing you said that shot out there? Was you said Muppets from Space, and then there was one other one you said that shot out there. Anyway, no, it's so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, that's just, to me, it's just a fascinating part of Wilmington history. You know, Wilmington film history. You know, that all these crazy movies were, you know, shot out at this, you know, kind of. And it's not even that remote, right? We could probably drive out there in 20 minutes. But we're downtown.
But yeah, it was within the Screen Actors Guild radius for not including travel time.
Oh, okay. Well, that's...
So it was, you know, if it was another 3 miles further out, then all of a sudden you do that, and suddenly you have, you're into overtime an hour earlier, and so, you know, with an assistant director, the SAG overtime circle is always heavily on their minds.
Well, I can imagine. So let's see, if we've hit all these movies, we talked about The Crow, we talked about... Yeah, so just one more reminder, Jock will be out at The Point at 4 o'clock on Sunday, September 19th.
It's free.
It's free. Well, yeah, that's even better. Well,
it is. You just got to...
Well, you can't turn that down.
Got to buy popcorn, because it definitely is a popcorn movie. It's not the worst movie I ever worked on.
Right.
That would be probably, you know, Deathbed, the bed that eats people.
I have seen Deathbed, and it is truly horrible.
It is.
Or,
it
you
is,
know what?